To let's talk about gay stuff. Woo! We're the podcast where we talk about gay stuff and discuss LGBTQ plus history. Woo! We are Thomas,
Chris,
and this week we're going to talk to you about the book Tales of the City from Amistad Maupin and talk about Andrew Cunanan. He was a murderer.
Murder.
And this ain't no our spooky podcast, but hey, we're gonna be talking about things.
That's not spooky with them.
Hey, can I read you guys something?
Ooh. Yeah.
You know how we every week we're like when we start this podcast we're like, hey, don't forget to drop us a line. Tell us what you hear. Tell us what you think. You know, leave us a review. Visit our website. Let's talk about gay stuff. Follow us on Twitter or talk about gay stuff or Facebook and Instagram. Yeah, let's talk about gay stuff. And we're always like, hey, leave us a review. And someone was nice enough to leave this review.
Oh, yay!
The review says, one star, lame.
Oh.
Incredibly long, and they interrupt and talk over each other too much to understand anything. Plus,
sure.
Most gays don't talk and act like this. Trying to find more voices in the world that sound, talk, and think like me, but are gay. This ain't it, boo. Oh, I added the boo, because that's... Oh. That was the emphasis.
This ain't it.
He doesn't. So if you're listening again, thank you for coming back.
Uh-huh.
Maybe you can give us another review.
Name.
I wish he would have, but he didn't. Or she. It could have been she.
Or could have been they, them.
Or
they, them.
We love a they, them.
Yeah.
Could have been me.
Actually, Ellen?
I'm going to try my best this episode not to talk over anyone. That'll last about
me too.
Well, I'm wondering if like that review is courtesy of like, because now there's like AI technology, like Microsoft, I think it has it, like it's called Copilot or something to that effect.
Oh, yeah.
Where it'll just summarize, like if you have a meeting, like an online meeting, it'll listen to everything you say and then summarize. Actually does a really good job of it. So I'm wondering if that's someone just co-pilot our podcast and be like, these guys, let me summarize, let's talk about gay stuff. And I'm like,
gays that talk over each other, they honestly talk very gay. It's just,
it's like, honestly, you know.
It's actually kind of true.
That's, you know, not
actually,
far.
Ellen?
Yeah, not far off, so we'll take it.
Well, I think you should leave your name.
Even if you're not liking something,
leave your name.
I mean, leave your whole pussy there, girl.
I mean, you know what?
That's not how gay people talk.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You know what's actually even more funny?
Leave your vagina.
Yeah. We don't call it a pussy.
A bussy.
We do call that.
You got the bottles clinking, and we have a listener, Illich, who always like, girl, y'all be drinking a lot. She's like,
know.
All the water, all
water.
The wine bottles. I'm okay, like, yeah, we are healthy. Have you seen my skin? Look.
How many? I brought water to say hydrate.
Oh, you were going to say
that. I was going to say, you.
We're talking over each other.
I know. And we're interrupting each other's thoughts. You know how many podcasts I've come on to that I walk away and I remember very little of? I'm sorry.
Oh, wait, our episodes. Oh, I thought you were talking about other ones.
Oh, no, no, those ones.
I would say the majority of podcasts, even if they're informative, are really meant to be an in-the-moment entertainment.
Yeah.
Well, also, this podcast was started as like a living room, like sit-down podcast situation, so that you felt that you were keeking with your besties, keeking with your good dudes.
And also, it may be long.
Oh, yes, it is, baby.
But
hello.
Okay, so
obviously, they rage listened throughout the whole thing.
I know.
So
all 2 hours and 30 minutes.
So either they could not find the stop.
Or that enthralled.
They were that angry.
Listen, I hate listening to some shows. So, Andy Cohen. I do. I'm like, why are you yawning and eating during interviews and like on the radio? Not so much as talk show, but like you listen to this radio show. He's yawning. He's eating, and I'm like,
he's tired.
He talks over every person that he interviews.
That
was
good.
That was good.
Speaking of, sorry. I'm
gonna let you finish.
And then I'll go.
Now we're all gonna recycle onto that. And like,
No, we're not.
We're gonna forget halfway
through.
Okay,
us a,
continue.
I've got nothing.
Speaking of Bravo, we started watching that show. This has nothing to do with anything, but you said Bravo, so I'm gonna talk about it. We started watching that show, Traitors. Have you seen it?
Oh, I have heard very good things about it.
Oh, it actually does have something to do with it because it's hosted by Alan Cummings, who is
a homo.
He is bisexual.
Oh, bisexual.
He is
coming from a bisexual
gay
man,
people don't talk like that.
He is fabulous.
Bi people do.
And he wears a kilt, which is why when you said kilt, I was like, oh, kilt. Anywho,
I should wear
so
kilt more often.
Speaking of, you should.
No,
and I was talking to Ben. We were watching it before I came over here. I was like, oh, that kilt looks so comfortable. I should get one. And I looked up, I'm 19% Scottish, so maybe my 19% is from the waist to the knee.
Hello.
Anywho.
I'm Scottish.
Waist to the knee. Waist to the knee.
And so.
Kilt. Ooh, baby.
Gay people don't talk like that.
So, Bravo.
Gay people don't talk like this.
One of the candidates on the first season is Brandi Glanville.
I remember that.
One leg.
Season one.
One leg.
Is this where she took off her wooden leg?
No,
oh.
That is not one leg.
Oh.
That is, oh, damn.
Is her name Eileen?
No.
Come on, Eileen.
No, I have a student.
Oh, I don't need that.
Oh, God, I shouldn't say that. No. I have a stupid joke that I will talk about later. And, oh, hell. Oh, I can't remember the one. Oh, Aviva. That's the one-legged lady's name. No, Brandi Glanville is...
Oh, I thought it was Eileen.
On Brandi Glanville is on The Real Housewives.
Gay people don't talk like that.
Beverly Hills. She was the one that was married to Eddie Cibrian that...
the one that... Leanne Rimes?
Leanne Rimes, yes.
Oh, that's the... Okay.
I love me some Brandi Glanville.
A lot of things that I have...
You're not a Real Housewives.
You don't know Leanne Rimes?
No, I'm not.
You don't know...
Not aware.
I don't know that he was alive for that.
Yeah, he was. She was 90s.
He was barely 90s.
Country music in the 90s.
That was like, he was
how
born in like...
without you, how do I know?
Anywho, so that was my problem.
How do I
know
without
you? You're really... You're tiptoeing into Cher. Okay, so that was mine.
I just really want this podcast to be about people that... You know, sound like me.
I wonder, like, what gay people they're hanging out with, because I feel like that.
I feel like that's
just a human thing. Like, maybe it's because I'm a teacher. Who doesn't talk over people? I spend all day with 20 people who talk over everybody all day long.
What do gay people sound like?
Maybe it's the gay people that I hang out with, but I feel like most of the gay people that I hang out with sound like me.
Well, and...
But I don't know. Maybe I'm just biased.
Heller stereotypes.
Biased. Heller.
Do gay people have a sound? Can't they sound like anybody?
Well,
are we saying is it? Are they saying that they gay people have a sound?
Yes, it's
so
more like
so. And I shall take that as a compliment, anonymous reviewer, because I have been told all my life that I sound gay. So,
well,
thank you. I am passing
because
for passing gay. I love it.
So,
who's that?
I would like anonymous reviewer to contact everybody from my 7th and 8th grade class and tell them that no, I do not sound gay.
Who's
actually
that?
Ellen.
So there.
See, that's a Housewives reference, right?
White refrigerators.
Oh, you know Housewives. You've been quoting Nene earlier.
Yeah, because I quote things that are on the internet.
Brandi Glanville's all over the internet.
Sure she is. Mm.
Anywho.
If you have pups, doggies, or fur babies, you show them some love with Baked Bones dog treats. These aren't just any treats. They are especially baked bones. They have CBD, which is great because CBD has been shown to help reduce stress and anxiety in both humans and dogs. So thankfully, Baked Bones has your dog covered with delicious treats that your dog will surely love. Made from organic, human-grade ingredients and full-spectrum hemp oil, their bones may offer some relief to your anxious pup. Check out BakedBones.com for more information on CBD for dogs and the other benefits they may provide. Baked Bones offers free shipping on all orders over $25, and you can save 15% using the promo code GAYSTUFF15. That's right, GAYSTUFF15. Baked Bones is LGBTQ+ owned and operated and is based in Houston, Texas. Baked Bones proudly donates 10% of all of its profits to no-kill shelters in the U.S. Baked Bones, big dogs, happy!
Wow.
You know what we probably need, because you're coughing and I'm like sounding like this? We need allergy medicine.
Oh, yeah.
This is brought to you by...
Allegra D.
Oh!
We're getting sued. It's just because I wanted to say D on the internet.
Like, and I just wanted to say Allegra!
Allegra!
What else is going on? Speaking of off-key notes, Taylor Swift released an album.
Yeah.
Okay, that was good.
That was.
That was a read of me, but also of her. And now you can hear the Swifties after. You better be careful.
That's
the
a double joke. That's, I
the
mean,
Swifties are a powerful army.
You call my humor too thought out and overdrawn out. What did you call it the other day? Not funny is what he called my humor.
Did I say long-winded or... I don't remember. It was very like
nothing funny. Nothing that was complimentary.
Delicately.
You're like, you're
as
not funny.
No,
he thinks
I
he's
said
funny.
That
he,
there are people,
but he's not funny.
Who can appreciate your sense of humor.
Meanwhile, I murdered you.
And Veronica is dying. Yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. Hmm. Anywho, Taylor Swift.
Anyway, yes,
two a.m. this morning, she released The Tortured Poet.
So that means she released it midnight West Coast time, whereas mm-hmm. Beyonce released her album on midnight East Coast time, because it was I could do 11 o'clock my time, Central time, and I had heard the album, but I was in bed by the time Taylor Swift released her album.
I'm too old to be waking up when they release
that's what I'm saying. It was 11 o'clock. Was like, but you're up all the time. Like, you send a message at, like, someone will send a message and Dusty responds, like, 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning,
it's
4 in the morning.
It's never 2 in the morning.
Okay, but didn't
it's
you do that 2 recently?
It's 2 a.m. in the morning. Oh, mm-hmm. But Taylor Swift, what do you think about her album?
And it ended up being a surprise, a double album, but apparently I was talking to one of my... It's a double album. It's a double album. It's not two albums.
You
it's
can't
a
say
double
album a million times and think I'm just going to understand it.
It's not two albums. It's a double album. It's like a
double.
It's like a set, like testicles or boobs. It's a set. There's two of them.
He doesn't understand boobs.
Okay, balls.
Two, yeah, balls, butt cheeks, testicles, yeah.
So, it apparently was a big surprise, but diehard Swifties, I was talking to someone on the Instagram that is a really diehard, apparently this was very, like, it was anticipated by people to know, because, like, she had been talking about Double, she had been releasing, like, two different covers, she had been teasing to the number two. It's, well, go.
Follow
talk
question. All of these songs are on
Seagulls?
One album.
No, there
are two albums.
So if
but
I
they're
go
both
and search for Tortured Poet Society, I have to
dead
somehow
department.
Find the...
You're thinking Dead Poet Society, which is...
The Dead Poet Society Part 2.
Captain, my captain!
No, it is... There is Tortured Poets Department, and then there is Tortured Poets Department Double Edition. And it's got all of them... But they're not numbered. They're numbered one through a lot.
And how many tracks does this album have?
31.
I can tell you. I believe it is 31.
And listen, I don't believe in the Illuminati, but she released her album, and there's a song called Blue Jay Cardinal. I don't know.
That's Beyonce.
It's not Cardinal.
No,
that is
no, no. So Casey has one that's
Casey
called Cardinal. Sorry,
it's Cardinal.
Beyonce has one that's Blackbird, and Taylor has one that's called Robin.
Yes.
And I'm like, what y'all talking about birds for?
Well, Blackbird is a cover, so.
But still, they're all talking about
it
birds.
It is 31.
Illuminati.
But also,
so,
it's 2 hours and 2 minutes, and it was released at 2 a.m., and so she's been doing this theme,
okay.
So it's a very theme. And it is very much like folklore and... What did I tell you? What was the other one?
You didn't never say
midnight. I didn't. Yeah, I was never...
Midnight.
No, it's not folklore and Evermore. Like, it's that vibe. Some people
boring.
in in the near vicinity of this table said that it sounds like a lot of her music, which it is.
The past five albums are all sound the same.
It does not sound like Midnights.
How
it
does it sound
not
different?
Sound like Lover. It does not sound like other albums that she has released. It has the same sound of that. It is a lot about heartache and those things, whereas Lover was about love and all that things. Midnight was about love and self-discovery and everything. It is not Hush. It is good. I am not a diehard Swiftie, but I am a Swiftie.
It sounds like it.
It kind of sounds like it.
It's very good. I've listened to it. Now, I have not listened to all of it yet because my only criticism is it was released on a Friday morning and I got to work. So I have not listened to it all.
What did you want to?
Yeah, I don't.
Yes, I did.
I haven't listened
yes,
to it, so
I
I've got nothing.
I am currently on track. I'm currently on Peter, which is, what is it? Song number 28. So I'm almost done. I'll finish it up on the way home.
You know what? You can do it.
So what you're saying is if I go on Spotify and I search Dead Poets Society.
You're going to get
a
rundown
songs at one time.
A rundown of Robin Williams saying, poof, what do you need? Poof, what do you need?
Oops.
Genie of the Lamb.
There,
I don't know what's happening over here on the side of the table, but
there is
it's having a conversation.
There is Tortured a Poet.
So no, but no, answer my question. If I go on Spotify right now and I search Tortured Poets Department, am I going to see 31 songs?
It depends on which
one
you go
to. Tell me the answer
to.
Yes or no.
No. There is.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to test it right
there's,
now.
No. There is Tortured Poets Department, the anthology.
Tortured.
And there is Tortured Poets,
Poets
Department.
Here, I'm just going to search it right here.
They're both going to come up.
How many songs are going to show up?
Well, if it's Tortured Poets Department, there's going to be 16.
I'm seeing a lot more than 16 here.
Because that's the anthology.
It doesn't say the anthology. I only search Tortured Poets Department, which means that this is one album.
I can't speak to the inadequacies of
Spotify.
I can only speak to the superiority
which
of
released
Apple
our
Music.
Podcast. Yeah, but hey, you know.
Tom's like, can we sell that?
So where did we land with this?
That it's great. I love it.
Love pick.
Thanks. Well, she is definitely an influential person.
She's fabulous. She is an ally. She's a friend. She's a lover.
But speaking of influential, Time Magazine released 100 Most Influential People of 2024, and you had a number of LGBTQ+ people.
Did.
Kelly Robinson of she's the president of HRC, Human Rights Campaign,
yeah.
So we appreciate that.
Yes,
Coleman Domingo, who was an Emmy Tony Award winner, played Bayard Rustin in the movie. Emmy Academy Award nominated. LGBTQ Elliot Page.
Yes, that was, yes.
Frank Magusha, who's an Ugandan LGBTQ+ activist. Rosanna Flamer Caldera, a Sri Lankan LGBTQ+ activist. You had a fashion designer named Jonathan Anderson. Katsuhiku Hayashi, who was a reproductive biologist.
Ooh.
Dominique Kren is a chef, an Ophelia Dahl, a healthcare advocate. Come on, LGBTQ. Let's get sickening.
That's good. Considering that's the world, though, right?
Yeah.
So that's even better than America, because that's like worldwide.
Hello. Yeah.
Influenced people. So that's good.
Yeah. So what is that number? 10? 10%?
Hey, 10% of the world.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
10% of the top
6 billion. 10 out of 6 billion people?
Yeah. Yeah.
How many billion people are on? I thought we were at 8.
We're over 7.
No.
Yeah. I think so.
I think it's still hovering around 6.
I don't know.
Anyway,
if you squint, you might find, like, if you squint and you jump up and down, you might get to 7, 8 billion. But you also, and you twirl, you might see that Pride is very close. Pride season is you can smell the sweat and the beads and the balls. But that means that the Greater Houston
balls.
LGBTQ plus chamber, like the balls that...
Like
the
gowns.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Greater Houston LGBTQ plus Chamber of Commerce is hosting its annual Pride Business Celebration, which is a unique opportunity to celebrate the important role of LGBTQ plus and allied businesses in the Greater Houston economy. The event underscores how the LGBTQ plus and allied business community works with the broader business community to realize a better city and region. This event is going to be held on Friday, June the 7th, 2024, and you can find out more at www.HoustonLGBTChamber.com/2024PIB. Again, that's HoustonLGBTChamber.com/2024PIB. The Let's Talk About Gay Stuff podcast / Listen Works, our production company, is a media partner to this event, and we are excited to be there. So we will be there, and we hope to see you there. If you're a local Houstonian, or if you want to travel to Houston in June, come see us, because we're going to celebrate. It's going to be a great event. And if you're not going to, if you're not local, if you're in Hey Papua New Guinea, what up? Because we regularly make their charts.
Which, I find very intriguing, because gay stuff is illegal there, isn't it?
Well, hey, if we're a medium, I mean, we're talking like gay people, I guess, in Papua New Guinea.
Gay people in Papua New Guinea sound like us?
Well, apparently.
Clearly.
But anyways, if you can't, you can also donate to, and you can find out the donate button on HoustonLGBTChamber.com/2024PIB. So what else? What other gay stuff's going on? Taylor Swift, at the time of this podcast, we're hearing that RuPaul's Drag Race
has crowned a new winner for season 16. Yeah,
the first Taiwanese American drag queen.
I think this is the first Asian or East Asian descent winner, because the Raja season 3 was South Asian.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, since then, people, we haven't had any Asian winners.
How do we pronounce that? Nymphia Wind. Okay, she's the latest season, known for obsession with the color yellow and bananas, and for her couture-like design talent. Oh. She snatched the crown from those other contestants, of Plain Jane and Sapphire Cristal.
Sapphire Cristal, yeah.
And she won season 16.
Yeah.
Come on, season 16 winner.
I'm woefully behind.
Yeah, there were several jokes on the internet about Nymphia, because basically any challenge that she went into, she'd be like, oh, I'm not very good at designing. And then she'd be like, the literal best designer, and like put together this elaborate, beautiful gown. And people are like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you are very good at this. And she'd be like, oh, I can't act. And she went an acting challenge. No. So it was like,
I could never.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, she's very pretty. So.
Well, that's good. I haven't watched that season, but I'm excited to see that. And I was typing in the, like, what's going on in our community? And yeah, she won, so.
And you typed it in 10 minutes after it happened.
You were like, yeah, that just happened. And I was like, oh, well.
Yeah, I was seeing it on the Twitter sphere live.
We haven't caught up on this season. We're going to do that. I didn't want to, like, I wanted to binge watch it, but I didn't realize it ended already. I wanted to binge watch it to the point that we could watch it. Yeah, but.
Yeah, I got invited to the finale tonight, and I could really forgot that it was happening. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I already made plans with my girlies.
Oh, I'm going to record a gay podcast. It doesn't sound like anything like gay people.
Stuff. We don't talk about this.
I got behind when they started, like, doing 2 a year.
Yeah.
They do way more than that, girl.
I think that...
Well, but, like, 2 of the American ones a year.
Oh, the All-Stars? But see, that's good. Yeah. They do All-Stars in the
it
fall.
It is, but that's what I'm saying. But, like, when you started doing 2 a year, and then addition to... that's when it was, like, I couldn't, like... I was like, ah!
Well, like, in 2 weeks, like, May 6th, 7th, or something like that, they're going to announce, like, All-Star cast. So
Is it another All-Winners or just All-Stars?
No, I think it's just All-Stars.
That's
fine. We don't have enough winners yet.
But they also have the, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race, whoever against the world, and that typically also has American... Drag Race Queen,
Just dropping
and,
that water.
sorry. They are very entertaining to me, but I also haven't watched like the past 3 seasons of it.
Spence was like hopelessly devoted to this franchise. And then you guys started doing the
Our
Rupee podcast. Which you can still find out there.
Yeah.
And I think I just got burnt out.
Yeah, because we were like, because we were at that point where RuPaul, because it was season 12 season 11 and season 12 that we were doing. And then we were like, okay, let's do, well, we started with Dracula, then season 12. And then we like, okay, that was a point where all the international seasons started to take off. And so we did Canada's Drag Race, and then we tried to do Holland, Drag Race Holland. And
but
we're
it
like,
was not in English.
It was not in English.
It was so hard to watch.
It was like being on the treadmill, and like the trainer just keeps pressing the fast forward button.
Like, and there's so many, and I'm like,
all of a sudden you're on 12, speed 12, and like, I want to be
And everyone's on a different channel, and RuPaul's got her on channel, and everything's, and I'm like, how do I download this app? And how, and then I was just like, I need a like.
Well, I'm telling her that not telling her, but saying that RuPaul can make a killing by just having everyone switch to WoW.
Yes.
TV, WoW Presents Plus, and just putting all of RuPaul's Drag Race on there because everyone's going to go to it.
I don't know why they haven't done that yet.
Don't know. Because, like, all of RuPaul's Drag Race is not available on WoW Presents Plus.
It's no, I know.
Available on Paramount Plus, which I think is weird. Like, does she not actually own the rights to her own show?
May not own the distribution rights to past.
I don't think she does. Like, she's one.
I think it's probably, like, the distribution rights or the, like, because they only have, like, for, like, because that's why, like, Netflix, like, they have them for a certain amount of time until, and then it's up for bid for straight, you know, and then, like, but then, like, you can buy the rights while they're still owned by other people. You can buy them. That's why you get, like, emails from, like, it's like, watch it before it's gone.
But she's one executive, or he's one executive producer on this show, right? So, multiple executive producers. So, they're all putting up money for this. So, it's like any business. Like, he owns, like, yes, it's his name, and probably he gets more of the money, maybe. But those other backers are like.
Yeah, we need money.
Just out there fracking. I mean,
It's about the fracking.
Oh, absolutely.
We've been talking about all sorts of fun things. You guys want to get mad about something?
Oh, you know I really love being mad.
There was, you guys remember the show 30 Rock? There was an actor who played the assistant to Jack Dunaghy, so Alec Baldwin's character. An actor named Malik Pancholi was he was going to speak at a middle school event about anti-bullying, he was called back by the school board. They disinvited him because of his lifestyle. But the school board was unanimous in this decision, 8-0. They said, you know, if you research this individual, he labels himself as an activist and he's proud of his lifestyle. And I don't think he should be imposed upon our students at any age, said one of the board members. The people were not excited. They're like, it's not discriminating against his lifestyle. That's his choice, but it's him speaking about it. You know, I'm not discriminating against you for being gay, but don't talk about it.
Yeah, you can't talk about being gay.
I think that's silly.
But any straight person can walk around and say, hey, we're trying to get pregnant. 100%. Literally saying, I'm dumping sperm in her constantly.
They do that. I'm trying and I'm
we're
like,
we're trying to have a baby. So you mean you're getting fucked every single night?
Yeah.
You're telling me raw dogging it as often as possible is literally the words you just told me. But the second I say, oh, my husband, oh, that's too much. I can't.
You're sexualizing.
Yeah, you're sexualizing this. This is gross. I can't.
I mean, them getting pregnant, the straight people trying to get pregnant is literally
sex. That is what sex does.
Which is fine. Like, don't be ashamed of that. Well, like, but don't criticize me for talking about mentioning my husband because that kind of
about
like
does it even say what he would have been talking about to the student.
He was going to talk about anti-bullying. That's what his presentation was on anti-bullying.
Would not necessarily even have been it wasn't bullying against being gay.
No, it was an assembly about empathy and anti-bullying.
Yes, obviously that would have been probably something he touched on, but like he wasn't there to be like how to not bully gay kids.
Yeah, no.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, it wasn't even that, but it was because the speaker, so they could get a straight person up there to talk about anti-bullying, is what I'm saying. You know, like.
100%.
Yeah.
And this was in Pennsylvania, right? So it's not like it's not Texas or Florida or Alabama. So it's a purple state, right? So you would think, but nope, they were 8-0, the school board. Which is kind of like frightening, but you know, such is life in 2024. Unfortunately, it was 8 years ago. We weren't like, or 10 years ago, it was like, hey, we're getting rights, woohoo! And then
I feel like there's like positivity.
Yeah, now
and
it's
now
dark
it's all
cloud.
Different. Yes, exactly.
And then on one hand, you could. I mean, I'm sure if like Edie Windsor were alive, say, bitch, I work for you all to get married. Like, so it's not that bad. It's been worse. 100%. It has
definitely
been worse.
Yeah.
But there is, the forces are pushing against us. We were fighting for our rights. Now we're fighting, I feel like, to keep our rights, fun place to be in. So at least,
and
yes.
Oftentimes, it's not even just to keep our rights, it's just the ability to exist.
Well, yeah. And I think it also, it's like, keep our rights, but also like environment too, because that's a school. So then you can't even have the argument of like free speech, because it's like, yeah, free speech, but it's in a school. So that involves children and they're minors. And so it's like, you have rights, but you have rights compartmentalized in certain areas. You have rights, but your rights don't exist in this arena. And so then it's like,
you can be gay, but only our image of gay.
Exactly. Only.
And also, we even have gays that want to define what being gay sounds like as well.
Not
so,
like me.
Not like, and you can't interrupt anyone. So
that's
like,
just very, yeah.
We, of course, in ourselves, in our own community, are attacking people for...
And I wonder at that school if there are any gay teachers.
Can I talk now? So I don't interrupt you. I just didn't want to interrupt you. I'm just kidding. I was like, I had nothing to say.
It's just sad because there's so many, like that. It's just like, there's so many, how do you, I know, because I'm a talker. And how many, that's why I'm a teacher.
Did you have caffeine before this?
Yes. Is that what we're calling
it? Actually.
Is that what we're calling it now? No, I'm kidding.
Know. What did you take? Was it a D? The Allegra D?
Oh. That one, no.
Just the D.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's, anyway. So.
He doesn't deny it. That means it was a yes.
It was some good D, because he hadn't seen him smiling like that in a while.
Happy.
He's so giddy.
It's
bouncing
on the wall
tonight.
He's bouncing on something. Gay people don't talk like that.
No, we don't talk like that.
It's just disappointing because
inappropriate.
It's like, you know, like even like you were talking about like saying you're out, like you can wear shirts. Like
shirt
sexes? Shirt. You can wear shirt sexes. You can
wear
shirts that say, you know, like baby on board, which basically says
you're
knocked
being
up.
Fucked.
But you know, like exactly, but I can't wear, you know,
come in my butthole.
I can't wear pants that say
come slut.
You know, exactly.
Well,
that's frowned upon.
Is that what you're saying? The equivalent of baby arriving, mama to be.
What's your pants say right now?
Mama to be and cum slut. Are you saying the same thing? Are you saying those are the same thing? Because that's why they don't invite you to the school board, the school meeting.
Because that's what he wears.
That's what you're talking about.
I'm on the shared decision making committee. Thank you.
Shared decision.
Nothing. Doesn't matter. But.
But.
I don't know where it's going.
Wow. But.
Y'all are so inappropriate. Gays don't talk like
gays this. Gays don't talk like this.
Gays don't talk like that.
They don't. It's true. Okay. Shall we go dark for a second?
Oh. Darker?
Darker, yeah.
Turn
off the lights. Turn off. That's. Nelly Furtado. I like how these 90s and early 2000s queens are coming back. She was in a performance recently.
She's still alive.
Yeah. Nelly Furtado is my age. Gays don't talk like that. They respect their. They respect their own.
I love
elders.
How Nelly Furtado came and she reinvented
herself.
Judged on how she reinvented herself, she did. She came. She was out. She was very like. Like, independent, she's like a bird. And then, like, within 2 years, she was blasting out rap version. I mean, and then she just disappeared, and now she's over. And then she's back again.
Did she disappear by choice?
The Illuminati came and got her. She had a kid. She was a dump.
She was a dump.
That's so inappropriate.
Podcast.
Huh?
Can I say that on this podcast?
What? Can we talk about
come dump?
We can say everything, but not that.
Not that. That's the.
Not
one.
That.
I don't know. I feel like we walk some lines sometimes.
But
yeah,
I won't do that.
I'm just talking with. No.
Listen, okay, so you call
listen.
A man.
Listen
a gay man. Gay men will call themselves sometimes on the ones that are. Not all of the sex workers that are on OnlyFans or pornography, but they will oftentimes call them. Sometimes refer to themselves as a cum dump,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Mm-hmm.
And so for you to draw that analogy to a woman...
Who is being fucked.
Impregnated.
Impregnated?
I'm not sure I would make that inference, but... And we
well,
were talking about inferences earlier.
She's a semen tank.
But
that is my storage.
No, I'm not going to say it. say that.
But if that's where you want to, like, you know, it's a couple of degrees of separate before you get there. But
back to Nelly Furtado, she's back.
I don't know if she's released an album. She did release a song.
Oh.
But it was like a she was a feat.
Oh, featured. Yeah. Oh, she was like.
We'll go back and clarify that pregnant women aren't cum dumps. Yes, we're going to say that all together now. Women are not cum dumps.
Okay, I feel like I'm going to get canceled on this podcast.
Well, that's why we're clarifying that.
We're clarifying that women are not cum dumps.
That is not.
Pregnant women.
No, that is inappropriate comment.
Okay,
we're all going to just say that that's not funny.
It's not funny.
We respect women.
We respect
pregnant women.
Good for them.
Non-pregnant women.
Their choices.
All the women. Okay. We say that with no jokes. All good. I feel good. I'm raising two women. Two girls who will grow up to be wonderful young women. And that's how we're going to leave that. You have a girl that you're bringing home.
So, mm.
And you're growing up to be a fine young woman, Chris.
And you're going to have children one day.
That's absolutely my moment.
You never know. That never say
that. Hey, 40.
My dog is a wonderful old lady.
Oh, my dog is so cute.
She's precious.
12.
She's 12.
Oh, you thought we got a bad review earlier, and now we're going to get a bad review for that.
Wait till Anonymous comes back.
I was going to say, last podcast, I went on a whole rant about Christianity being a plague. So.
When you're single, Chris likes when Anon comes back. Like, hello.
Hey.
Shirtless, profile, no pic.
So what was
dark? we're going to talk about Andrew Cannanan.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah. So this man, back in 1995, began a killing spree that spanned 4 states, 3 months, and claimed 5 victims, 2 of them which were his friends, because I say friends in quotes, because is that how you call it? Treat your friends? 2 strangers that he didn't know, really, and then Gianni Versace was probably the most infamous murder that he had. This man was, Andrew Cannanan, was part of the FBI's 10 most wanted list of fugitives at one point. His family, when they were talking about, like, when they were seeing his name in the news, like, they couldn't believe that, their words, couldn't believe that Andrew reached the point. He was raised in a very Christian way, and value of family and the value of neighbors was important. Andrew Cannanan was born on August 31st, 1969. He was 27 when he started this killing spree. He was born to a Navy vet turned stockbroker, a man named Modesto Cannanan, and a woman named Mary Ann. He was the youngest of 4 children. He attended a good school. He was attended private school, but he was going to school with folks that were outside of his like people that made like families that made more money than him or than his family. And so he was prone to lie about his background at one point, not necessarily like throughout his life. He would claim like his dad was a millionaire or he was part of the bloodline of aristocrat.
Part of the tortured poets.
Yes. But he was a smart guy. He had an IQ of 147, which I don't know what that means. Is that high? What is that?
I mean, average is what, 110?
I don't know. I don't know what my IQ is.
Y'all.
80.
His brother said he memorized the encyclopedia at the age of 10. Like, he read the full, like, all the whole encyclopedia back when, you know, the young kids, probably Anonymous that was listening and gave us that 1-star review, doesn't know what an encyclopedia is, but this spectrum of books. and he memorized them all, and so you could ask him a question and he would give you the facts. There you go. He grew up as his father's pride and joy, according to his brother. At age 19, he came out, as gay. Many of his family, like his mom, like found out, but many of his family members didn't acknowledge his homosexuality, and so never felt quite himself, and so eventually moved to San Francisco so he could live out and open, because in San Francisco,
gay,
right? Maybe gay. Anonymous can find his tribe there.
Maybe there's gay people that talk like him in San Francisco.
One at a time.
Do you think he has a lisp? I feel like he has a lisp.
I don't know.
Or they have a lisp.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, you know, if he's non-binary, then, or they are non-binary, then they can't be You could be a non-binary gay person, I guess. Huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. Because mm-hmm. but
gender
which
is
which would be why that person could say we are not gay people that represent them. And honestly, work.
Honestly, period.
Find your tribe, boo. That's all I want you to do.
Find your tribe, boo.
Scarred bird, sis. That's what y'all kids say. That's my tribe. It's my vibe tribe. My ride tribe.
This past weekend. It's my new tribe.
That's what he said the last podcast, too.
Oh, was it last podcast?
It
was.
Okay. Every time
he says, I'd take a shot. Vibe tribe. So moved to San Francisco, living his life. He became a scene queen for all practical purposes. He was at the clubs, got to know lots of people, became friends with lots of folks. Was friends with so many folks that when his name started coming up as he was attached to these murder sprees, they started leaving, like fleeing San Francisco because they were like, I don't want to be his next victim because I guess they knew he had issues. Excuse me. While he was kind of out and about, he started to befriend wealthy older men. And one man in particular named Norman Blatchford was a man who basically bankrolled Andrew Kernanen for a period of time, provided him with a $2,000 a month allowance, gave him a place to live, car, gave him a nice luxury car to drive around in, would take him on nice vacations. So, I mean, I take free living, nice paid car, free vacations. I mean, an allowance of $2,000 a month.
Oh, fuck. I mean,
I take it.
I'm into it.
Hello,
now,
Norman.
What do I have to do for it?
Hello, Norman. He's an older man. You have to be his walker.
Walker?
Apparently, no. I hate you so much.
You'd have to go with around with him to parties and.
Oh, okay. So I just have to like be seen.
Be his companion. I don't know. Whereas Karen Walker said, "Point your heels to Jesus." She told Jack. Jack Hayes. What's his name? Jack McFarland. She said, "You're gonna listen here, you sissified little sissy. You're gonna do what every other self-respecting woman would do. You point your heels to Jesus and think of handbags." This is when Leslie Jordan, played by rest in peace.
Making
us. You know.
Oh hell. Whale shit.
No, his name was the actor's name is Leslie Jordan.
That's why we could think of that.
Beverly Leslie.
Beverly Leslie. What name you guys were trying to come up with? Was like that was him.
Beverly Leslie was the character name. Was who's playing an older gent was trying to invest in Jack McFarlane, a younger gay man. So that's what you have to do to find a older.
How much a month?
Wealthy 2000.
2000.
Which isn't a ton of money, like
well,
if you think
on.
About
this
it.
Is
but
what time is this? In
this
the 90s?
Is in 1990s, in the mid 90s. We'll say 95.
That's good.
I'm gonna look it up.
You don't have to pay for housing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to pay for a car. You get vacations, and you go with this man. He's gonna pay for all your meals. So mm-hmm. this is $2,000 to go buy, like get the.
It's $4,000
a month. That's what I make now.
So and but that's with no money. So technically, budget. So yeah, you would.
You would. You would not. You would or wouldn't.
If
I would do it.
Yeah.
What then? How old has this been?
You're in your early 20s.
Oh, I'm doing it.
What would you do for it? Would you become a cum dump?
Well, I thought we said we weren't talking about this.
Well, we
weren't going to talk about women being cum dumps.
Oh,
this
yes.
is you being a cum dump.
You can be a cum dump to one person. Anyways.
Oh my gosh.
And you know what though? He probably is
so
very
canceled.
He probably is very understanding for you going out and being the occasional cum dump for an occasional person.
So he would let
you
go be cum dumps for other people.
But I feel
well,
like that's
within reason. Not every night because you have
responsibilities.
I mean, how many gay married couples do you know that have open relationships?
Oh, absolutely.
I probably know fewer that have I probably know more that have open relationships, whether they tell their husband or not, than are in like monogamous. You know what I mean? Am I lying? Am I the only one?
No, I actually don't think you're lying.
Like,
yeah, like I think of most
of the five gay married couples that you know. Like, pick any five.
I don't know that.
Most of them
have, happy. No.
Most of them are in open relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
Two.
How will I know?
And one's
not on the way over here.
One of them's
Whitney?
Yeah, but the Clean Bandit remix, it's very good.
Oh,
it's cute.
So, anyway, this man paid for his sugar daddy, because one of his friends, sugar daddy, he says, one of his friends noted, like, when they were kind of talking, like, hey, tell us about this guy who's, like, wanted for murder. He was like, he was dumped by his latest sugar daddy. He was losing his prowess among his peers. He had gotten sloppy and lost his looks, and the star was fading. The shade.
Gays don't talk like that.
Well, that this gay did.
Gays don't talk
to
like that.
To the New York,
but, you know,
to the New York motherfucking
the
times.
In the late '90s. Oh God, he was basically dead.
That man was just slain
in San Francisco.
And they said his mental health had suffered. Like, as his self worth was tied to the finer things, and being accepted in higher society and by wealthy people was what he expected. And so once that man older, because that older Blatchford dumped him, like, let him go, put him off payroll. So that's where Andrew Cunanan was just kind of like spinning. Like, he lost his payroll, he lost his bank, he's lost his home, and so he was like, I don't know what to do. And so this is when things started to kind of go south. So he had a friend named Jeff Trail. Was a friend. This guy was used to be part of the Navy. He was a Naval Academy grad, based out of San Diego. And after Jeff Trail was released or discharged from the Navy, Jeff went to go live in Sacramento and then moved to Minnesota. And Jeff Trail and so San Diego,
people moved to Minnesota,
Sacramento, Minneapolis. No, this is Jeff Trail, not Andrew Cunanan. So, but Jeff Trail and Andrew Cunanan at one point crossed paths, and so they perhaps had a romantic relationship, even though Jeff's family says no, they did not. But a lot of Andrew Cunanan's friends say, yeah, they did have a romantic relationship. Jeff Trail's sister says, though, like, I don't think they had a relationship, but Andrew idolized Jeff, her brother. Jeff Trail found Andrew entertaining but was less amused. So at one point, Andrew Cunanan says, I'm going to go to Minnesota and visit Jeff Trail. Andrew Cunanan tells his friends, I'm going to settle some business with Jeff. And Jeff tells his sister, like, he didn't want Andrew to come. Jeff had just started a new relationship. He had a new boyfriend and was concerned that Andrew may come and start some trouble. Not that kind.
Oh, sorry.
Keep your dumpster to yourself. And so, but friends say, like, after everything had happened, like, you know, Andrew was kind of kicked out of the scene. He wasn't being bankrolled by his sugar daddy, as
it
was called.
So his sugar daddy went around and got everyone to hate him?
No, it was just like, Andrew was more like, I don't have the credit card I can spend anymore. He started, like, maxing out his credit cards and then couldn't spend any more money. So he was used to being like, hey, I'm fabulous. And then all of a sudden, like, he couldn't bankroll. Like, Andrew couldn't go out and be like, no, boo, I got lunch. Like, brunch is on. Like, he couldn't go buy those nice things anymore.
I was making $4,000 a month and didn't pay rent, didn't pay for meals myself, didn't pay for anything, and just banking for baby.
But you weren't banking it. You maybe would bank it, but he was just spending it. Like, oh,
because if you didn't spend any money on rent or food or anything, then that means you were spending it on clothes and drinks and you know, jewelry.
Let's
and
go out,
all the
ladies.
To look and on your friends. So you were spending it on things that you had. You ended up with literally nothing.
Right. And then all of a sudden, you took out your own credit card, maxed that puppy out, and then so all of a sudden your sense of identity just started to kind of go away. So that's where he was like, he was spinning. So that's where things got like.
Dicey.
Yes. Oh well. No, I didn't realize what you were going with until. Oh man, jeez, why'd you do? Gays don't talk like that, Chris.
What do I do?
But so he started complaining he was broke. He got rid of his car. He was living in a dumpy apartment, and he couldn't be the top dog anymore. So like he was just spinning. So he says he's going to go visit his friend Jeff Trail in Minnesota, in Minneapolis. And so he went up there. He stayed initially with a friend named David Madsen. So David and Andrew Cunanan had been romantic partners at some point. Weren't necessarily at the time when Andrew went up to Minnesota. David Madsen was an architect, and like I said, they were once upon a time lovers. So when Andrew shows up, Jeff Trail's not in town. He goes out with David Madsen. They have a nice time, and then Andrew Cunanan stays at Jeff Trail's apartment while Jeff is away with his boyfriend or out of town. Excuse me. When Jeff comes back, he's like, "Hey, I'm at David Madsen's apartment. You should come over." Jeff Trail says, "Okay, I'm gonna go." He tells his roommate, "I'm gonna meet you out at the bar at 9 o'clock. I'm gonna go over to Andrew, meet up with Andrew at David's apartment." And so this was 9 o'clock, and then 2 days later, Jeff Trail's body is found. So he leaves his apartment. You know, Jeff Trail leaves his apartment at 9 o'clock. His watch is stopped at 9:55. So that's where folks are assuming police are assuming that's when he died. They found Jeff Trail's body.
Why was his watch stopped?
Which is a good question, because I've wondered that. Just
keep going.
I've read that multiple times, but that's the point that keeps coming up. Like, his watch stopped, and I was like, but I agree.
Well,
like,
if it was
unless it was broken, I don't know.
Well, no, but some watches you have to wind.
Yeah, but why did it stop after 2 days?
Well, think about it. If you if it's a winding watch, it only probably winds, like you wind it in the morning, it winds down. So,
hey, I'm winding up right now.
A what?
Ew.
Should we chew? anyways.
So maybe he...
No, I was alive in the 90s. When did you have a wind-up watch?
Hey, he was rich. I don't know. I don't know if he was rich. He was...
They had battery-powered ones by this point.
Yeah, but I think fancy watches, like... Maybe still.
Honestly, I don't know, but that's a point that keeps coming up in all the articles that I read.
Assume that was when he died.
Yeah. Okay, then maybe he was beat about the head and then he put his arms up to stop doing
beating. But thank you for raising that, because I'm kind of like, I had the same question, and I'm like, it was like, New York Times, Vanity Fair.
Because.
Okay.
Well, the watch wouldn't just stop.
I think you're focused on the wrong things. A man died.
Amanda?
I meant to die. And they wrapped him in a rug.
How did he die?
Oh my god, he's dead.
Oh, so they clawed him with a hammer. Well, not
okay.
Andrew Cunanan clawed him with a hammer.
There you go. He put his hands up to stop.
Bashed his head in.
Hit his watch. Watch broke back. There you go. That's why the watch was stopped. Bada bing, bada boom.
So this
and
was
you know what being hit with a hammer. I always say, "Ouch." That's no way to go with a hammer.
Clawed to death.
With a hammer.
Not even the hammer, the prongs of the hammer.
Either way, it's a hammer.
Exactly.
Hammer.
And this was on April 27th, which is why we're talking about it this week, that this episode is being released. So, first murder is Jeff Trail, a friend of Andrew Cunanan. He murders him at his other friend's house, and David
Madsen.
Well,
the other friend is not there.
Thank goodness.
I don't know if David Madsen was there, but at one point, they're at David Madsen's house, and all we know about David Madsen, who is the second victim, is that he failed to show up to work on Monday, but he was also seen walking his dog with Cunanan. So presumably, like, if the murder happened at David Madsen's house, David Madsen knew what happened, mm-hmm. especially if they were walking the dog the next day on Monday. But they took a ride out outside of Minneapolis on May the 3rd, and that's when David Madsen's, you know, the 33-year-old man, friend of Andrew Cunanan was found shot to death in a lake, and he was discovered by two fishermen. So
so then that means that David Madsen probably knew that it happened, and then he was like, hey, it's good. Like, oh, no, it's all fine. Like, I trust you. You're not going to say anything. And then he's like, no, I don't fucking trust him.
Shot. Yep. And so then he took David Madsen's truck, his red Jeep Cherokee, to Chicago, and then he parked outside of a townhouse that belonged to a man named Lee Miglin, who was a 72-year-old real estate tycoon, and Andrew Cunanan then murdered that man. He slashed his throat with a saw blade, and his chest was stabbed with pruning shears, and then wrapped in masking tape. I was trying to figure out, like, well, how did that happen? But a subsequent article says there was a connection because it seemed random. But Lee Miglin's son, Duke Miglin, was a 25-year-old actor who apparently Andrew Cunanan and Duke knew each other and may or may not have
been
each
other.
Yeah. So Cunanan takes he stole Lee Miglin's green Lexus and drove that to New York and then New Jersey, and we know that because he kept his cash receipts in the vehicles with him, and so that's how also the police could start tracking him and slowly piecing this together. On May 9th, Andrew Cunanan finds himself in New Jersey, and that's where he found his next victim, who is a cemetery caretaker named William Reese, a 45-year-old man, again, Andrew Cunanan murdered him. Left the green Lexus that he stole from Lee Miglin, and then took William Reese's red truck. And that red pickup truck becomes like a part of the Versace murder trail when that happens. So again, leaves a pattern. He has these trail of cash receipts. The FBI is starting to track him, and they're also noticing that he's starting to use the same 40 caliber gun. And so Cunanan finds himself in Miami Beach there in Florida, and on May 12th, he checks into a hotel. He parks his red truck in a nearby garage. He checks in under an alias, obviously not Andrew Cunanan. And then, you know, he hangs out in Florida from May 12th until July, which is when things start to go down, because on July 15th, 1987, he kills Gianni Versace. He shoots him twice in the head at the gates of his oceanfront house. Versace's partner, Antonio D'Amico, chased Cunanan into a garage. But then Cunanan waved a gun at Antonio, and so then Antonio backed away, and that's when and Cunanan had intended to take that red pickup truck that he had in that garage that he parked when he checked into the hotel that he stole from the victim in New Jersey. He was intending to drive off in that, but there he saw a patrol car, so he got spooked. So he just changed because he was bloody from shooting Versace, and changed, and then just kind of snuck out of the garage.
So I know there's a whole Netflix documentary thing. Why did he shoot Versace? Did he have relations?
There's some like everyone claims that there's not. I mean, there's some I read one thread of stories that said they did, like, once upon a time they met, but really there's no clear connection. Like, you look at the police and FBI investigated, because FBI gets involved because crossed all those state lines, any connection, but they couldn't find any connection with him or Versace's partner. They were we don't understand what's going on there.
Well, he just ended up there and just shot a random person.
Yep.
That happened to be Versace.
Yes. Hmm. Well, not right. I think he was kind of obsessed with, I mean, again, this guy.
The image.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
And so it wasn't just totally random, like, oh, I'm just going to shoot this guy. Like, he clearly targeted Versace.
Yeah.
For what reason, we don't know. But yeah. And so he changes and kind of escapes out of the garage. And then this you don't see him for a few days. Like, what happened, though, and just by the way, on Versace, like, I mean, this was a huge deal. Andrew Cunanan had been these murder sprees, and some stories had been popping up. You shoot one of the most famous, fashion
brands,
designers at the time. Versace was known for his it was quoted, like, he, this was a man who brought rock, art, sexuality, and brilliant color into contemporary fashion. So he was an icon.
And I wear the cologne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the man left.
They don't talk like that.
They don't. Versace left $807 million business, 130 boutiques. I mean, his dresses range from $30,000 to, you know, 50 expensive fashion, right?
Gowns.
Yes, all of it. So it was a big deal. And so from July 15th until July 23rd, when this whole chase ends, like, Cunanan was like the top story in the news. He was most wanted. And there was a hunt for him that was long and frustrating. And but people like were sensationalizing him to some extent. They were like, because he was noted as brazen and wily and highly intelligent. And people were trying to get in on the action. Like, the FBI and Florida police got thousands of tips and leads. Hello. And there were sightings, like, all the way from North Carolina to New Hampshire to Texas. Some of them were, you know, leads that the police were following. Some of them were clearly hoaxes. But yeah, even through all this, like, Andrew Cunanan was fairly visible, like, through, you know, most of these things until he killed Versace, and then he stopped. Because this guy, people would see him in the afternoons and evenings. He was not, like, trying to hide.
Hiding.
Yeah. But even when he, like, Versace, after he killed Versace, he did become a bit more of a recluse. He wound up holed up in a houseboat. And so on July 16th, there was a guy who discovered that someone broke into a nearby or his old sailboat, and the guy was like, this seems odd. There's newspapers here, they're open to and the articles are all, like, pointing to, like, the murders, like, they're all focused on that. So he reported to the police, but the police didn't respond because they were being had received so many tips. And then on July 23rd, this is when things started to go down, because another man reported that there was a burglary. There was a guy who was houseboat watching, houseboat sitting for another man. So the man was Fernando Carrera. Yes, apparently. When you're rich enough, yes. And when you're so.
Can
the,
I be a houseboat sitter? Of course.
So when the he was. So this man that was a houseboat sitter, Fernando Carrera, was houseboat sitting for a man named Torsten Reineck, who was actually. So this is where Andrew Cunanan finds himself in Torsten's houseboat. Torsten was avoiding German authorities because he was being sought after for fraud. So a little bit interesting kind of side note there. So Fernando was checking in on the boat and noticed that the lock was missing and that the couch had looked like it had a makeshift bed and there were slippers and a blanket on the floor. And then he heard a shot. So he retreated outside and called the police. He tried to call the police from his cell phone. He couldn't get through to the police. So he called his son and he said, hey, call 911, like, something's going down, and kind of gave him the details. And so within an hour after his son made the call, hundreds of officers were surrounding this houseboat community. They sealed off the streets and they shut off the electricity, and they waited for nearly 4 hours to, like, kind of get Andrew Cunanan and
get people out of the boats.
Well, most people weren't in the boats, which is interesting. Note, because it's July, so you'd think there would be people.
Season,
yeah. But nothing was happening. Like, so they waited, like, hours, nearly 4 hours, and then they finally, because they didn't have confirmation, they didn't know, like, for sure it was Andrew Cunanan, and they were just like,
they had a hunch.
They had a hunch. They had the tip from a few days before, and then they had, like, this guy saying, there's someone's here. So after 5 hours from that initial call, the 911 call, with no firm evidence, like, they decided to, like, storm the houseboat. They shot in canisters of tear gas in that houseboat. They searched once for the houseboat. They didn't see anything, so they did a second dash through the houseboat, and that's when they found Andrew Cunanan was dead. And he had, presumably, like, he was, like, they found himself. He had shot himself in the mouth, and there was blood coming from his ears, mouth, and nose. He was found in his boxer with a 40 caliber gun laying on his stomach. Which is the same gun he used to kill the three of the victims.
So was he dead when... Do we think that he was dead when the person first went onto the houseboat?
Yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting question, because that's what I was thinking. But it doesn't, like... I mean, these are some of the things, like, no one's ever going to know, like, how long he was dead. They don't have his watch to show
him. Oh, not the watch. We don't know when it stopped ticking.
I know. I was the same thing. I was like, wow. But it kept coming up, and I was like, that's a fact. Yeah. But I'm like, but don't the watches keep going? But I don't know.
Watches are modern nowadays.
I don't know. Like, I have to plug mine in.
I know. Mine. I had to plug it in once a week.
Hello.
Hello.
What are you talking about?
What are we talking
about? But you think about this guy, like a boat community. Like, he's staying in a boat community. He killed a man on Versace, like a famous person.
Days prior.
And then he just winds up in this boat community. He's not holed up in the woods, in the forest somewhere where you can't find him.
You know what? I'm just going to hide on someone's
boat. Yeah. And that's what people were like. This guy, like when they're interviewing the neighbors around, like, this is the guy that he was across the street, like a five-time murderer. And yeah, he was just like right under our nose. Yeah, so just kind of interesting things. I mean, this man, like his mom, they interviewed his, well, they tried to interview his mom, but his, like, people around his mom, like his mom was watching, like, the raid on that, on the houseboat. You know, it says she was praying for her son, but also praying for the victims and family, because she realized what her son had done, what had happened, and the victims, you
and
know,
all of this started because his sugar daddy cut him off.
Well, I mean, I think he had bigger, yes, bigger issues than that.
I know, it was a joke.
But all the victims, like their family, the victims' families were feeling grateful that, you know, he was caught and relieved that the hunt was finally over. Lots of comments about it was a relief, and doesn't diminish our loss, but, you know, they were relieved, again, to see that he was finally caught. of course, interesting fallout in the LGBTQ plus community, because he had been played up as a flamboyant, and there was a storyline that he had told his friends that he had HIV, he was HIV positive or had contracted AIDS, although the police said that he didn't have, like, they tested him for that, and he didn't have no signs of
being. So he said that just for attention?
Perhaps. But yeah, it was, I mean, it was quite a story, affected many people in the LGBTQ plus community. He was a member of the LGBT plus community. He killed the iconic fashion designer who was a member of the LGBTQ plus community. And yeah, I mean, his story was sensationalized, like, for people that like those sort of things, and that people that, I mean, we were, you think about 1997, we're coming off OJ, we've got the Clinton scandals, like, people wanted court, like, big drama, and this guy was, you know,
he brought big drama.
Yeah, and he was charming, and, you know, he had that witty, like, why, like, there was a perception of him, like, oh wow, can this guy get away with it, and there was some intrigue by it. So yeah, that was his story. As you noted earlier, like, the story kind of lives on in, you know, podcast culture, but as well as, like, American Crime Story, that series is conducted or produced by Ryan Murphy. Yeah. So the assassination of Gianni Versace, stars Darren Criss as Andrew Cunanan, Ricky Martin was in it. I thought it was Selma Hayek, and I feel like a racist of my own people, but it's actually Penelope Cruz. She plays Donatella.
That's racist.
I know, and it's against my own people.
So but, and Chris finds it offensive as a Selma Hayek
stan. Selma Hayek stan.
She's the only reason
he knows what boobs are. Speaking of, The Eternals 2 got canceled.
Oh, no.
So I could see more for Bubbies.
Why?
I don't know.
That's
weird. I didn't think they canceled Marvel things.
That is the awful story of Andrew Cunanan. But we remember
it's
his victims.
Fascinating story. Though.
It is.
So it's so, and so much of it is so random. Like, it's so, like, nothing. Most murders aren't just, like, random. But, like, it's, like, even, like, just, like, the people, like, it's just, like, so much of it doesn't make sense. Like, it's just like, so, like, there's not, nothing ties really any of it together. Yeah, it's just like, not even like Versace, like, none of it really is.
Someone's dad that he taught, or grandfather.
Exactly, none of it's connected. There's really no motive for any of it.
Well, he killed two friends, a dad of a friend. But the last two victims in New Jersey,
yeah, just,
like,
but even then, like,
sense.
None of it, there's really not a,
but like, why go from San Diego or San Francisco all the way to Wisconsin or Indiana,
or New York, New Jersey, and
well,
all...
then to Chicago,
yeah,
and then to New York, and then to Miami, like,
there's
just like a, like,
yeah.
I feel like there's some weird connections that are not,
and then just randomly kill, like, just walking up. There's no clear motive. There's nothing that ties it together. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you, like, mentally, I mean, there's not, like, there needs
I know,
to be. Yeah, I mean, there's not.
Awesome.
I think that's more clearly that, you know, mentally unstable people, I mean, there's no need for it.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so weird.
But, like, I kind of understand the, like, sugar daddy cut me off, let me move to my friend's house in Wisconsin.
And kill them. I mean, yeah.
And kill them, I don't know, but that's kind of crazy. why go to Chicago and kill someone's dad? Like, or grandfather? I don't know. You said 70-something.
I feel sorry for the poor grave.
Yeah,
the grave.
Yeah.
It was well, he had a truck.
Oh,
what?
Okay. It was a glare. Nothing.
We already know there's possibly hauntings here.
Yeah, of course.
But you don't need to be thinking there's somebody behind you.
As the helicopter goes. Like,
well, that's probably because there's a murderer.
As the helicopter, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we'd like to thank our sponsor, EconomyWorks. If you need help with marketing, hire a freelancer. Need help with building a website? Hire a freelancer. If you need help with benchmarking and analysis, why not hire a freelancer? Economy lurks.
Economy lurks.
Lurks.
Serving lurks, baby.
Lurks.
Serving those economy lurks.
Economy lurks believes in the power of connection
like
and wants
this.
To connect you with this talent network.
Talent network has over 1,000 years of experience and is growing in HR, marketing, IT, accounting, and other specialties. Economy works. When
the
we work, the economy
works.
Find out more at economyworks.com. That's Economy Lurks. That's funny. That's EconomyWorks.com.
I'm so glad we did it.
I'm sorry. That's good.
Economy Lurks.
Look at us being something. Well, how many queens?
What you got, Andrew Mophead?
Oh. Well, speaking of
Murbers?
Murbers and lurkers. San Francisco, that's where the story takes place.
Uh-huh.
That's gay.
I know. What universe? It's like planets are aligning.
He's kind of like going on.
I know.
He went to the restroom and came out recharged.
Oh, like, but it's just his chair.
Hey, whatever. I mean, as long as we bring the ratings.
I know. Yeah, I know. Whoa!
Why is that? I feel like, what's her face? The character, Liza Minnelli.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, is a phenomenal song
yes.
by Liza Minnelli.
Mm-hmm.
Don't say yes like you've heard the song.
No.
I know.
Are you talking about Alexis Michelle when she plays Liza?
No, I'm talking about what's her face when she does that character. What's her face?
What's
her face?
Molly Shannon's character who plays the 50-year-old. Not Superstar. The I'm 50 and I can still kick and I can still.
Sally O'Malley.
Yeah,
there you go.
So I am talking about the. Tales of the City. This is a you've probably never heard about it or seen it. Hopefully Thomas has. This is a gay queer canon novel. This is an iconic by Armistead Maupin. This is a classic. This is a thing. This is pretty big. It is a series, actually, a Tales of the City. There's nine of them.
There
hold
are
on.
Multiple Tales of the City.
There, it's actually, yes, there are.
How
much
Tales do I get?
I believe, I think there are, hold on, 10. There are 10.
Ten
the most
tales?
Recent, The most recent just came out this year in 2024. And this is the first one, though. It's called Tales of the City. And the rest of them are like More Tales, Further Tales, and then they have different names. Oh, I love that.
Okay.
So picture it.
Sicily.
San Francisco.
Oh.
1909.
1922. What are the...
I can't remember. San Francisco, 1976. So it's the bicentennial.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, bye.
Bye.
And
bye.
So it's think about it. San Francisco, it's 1976. It's, you know, we're still fresh off of, like, you know, gay liberation in San Francisco. We've got, it's very free love, you know, still all that, and it's San Francisco, so it's, you know, all that. And this is...
Liberation Market hadn't happened yet. Didn't it happen in 1979?
69, honey.
No, that's when the Stonewall happened.
Yeah, but, like, this is San Francisco, it's still very gay and queer and all that, and...
Or am I thinking about the Gay March in Washington?
Gay March in Washington.
Yeah, this is all still with all, like, San Francisco is still San Francisco-ing.
I'm trying to get my gay history. That's why I'm on this podcast.
Okay.
And so this is great because this is a good... I seen the movie.
Tales of Two Cities?
Tales of the... Tale of Two Titties.
Tale of Two Titties.
Which, oh my God. So... brief, somewhat... This is my ADHD brain. So, I said A Tale of Two Cities just to be funny, which is obviously A Tale of Two Cities.
Which is not what we're
which
talking
is
about.
Not at all what I'm talking about, but it is the Charles Dickens novel, which...
Dick?
Which is a tale... This is a tale... Tales from the City, so they sound like... But anywho, I said A Tale of Two Titties. But in Steel Magnolias, which is my... favorite movie ever, where Shelby needs a kidney transplant because she is diabetic, and they're teasing her father the night before her kidney transplant. They're talking about watching a movie, and they're making jokes, and they're talking about they're making transplant jokes, and they're like, "Which movie should we watch?" And one of his brothers goes, "A Tale of Two Kidneys." That's the connections that go on up here. That's true.
Yeah, sense of humor.
Those are the
A Tale of Two.
Those are the synapse jumps that go
synapse,
on.
A
yeah.
Tale of Two Cities.
So,
Tales of the City.
Anyway,
Tales of
so,
the City.
Yeah. Anyway,
this says
it was
well,
the best of times.
It was the best times. It was the gayest of times. And so this is really, but what a great start.
What a missed opportunity.
Oh, right? Well, you can start this.
Missed opportunity.
Oh, my God. Why can't, damn it. Shit. Damn it.
To the queen. To the ready.
Speaking of, so,
wait.
In my, well.
We're never going to finish the podcast.
You shouldn't. See, this is what happens when you talk over people. You get me sidetracked. So,
coming with Dragon Man.
Okay, well, I was going to pause and go back, but you gave me the opportunity to come back. So, in my text, with my former coworker friends, my friend Paige was talking about she went to Costco and she bought muffins and croissants. And one of my other friends says, "That sounds like a great name for a stripper." And I said, "Actually, it's two strippers, muffins and croissants." And I said, "Welcome to the stage. Your two favorite strippers, one's all fun on top and the other one's a little flaky, muffins and croissants."
That's very clever.
I
clever
don't know. It's not the great name, but the intro was good.
It.
So, anywho.
I love it.
So, back to... But it made me think, because I still cannot... exactly. Because that's what it is.
Yeah.
It's, mm-hmm. You know.
So, but they're not actual strippers, they're just clowns.
Exactly. So, this is a great novel because it does set up these the main core characters go, because I'm currently on book five.
In 3 days.
I have a long commute. What do you want me to do? Drive. I zone out and listen. And I make it to work.
Somehow safely.
And so they, and the novels follow them over. We're currently in 1985, but right now we're in 1976. So we've got, it starts with Marianne Singleton. She's from Cleveland. She's an innocent Midwest girl. She, looking for a change, she moves to San Francisco. So she's very naive, very innocent, and she's looking for a place. She stays with, a friend of hers. And it's not working out. Her friend is like this kind of flighty, flaky flight attendant. So she ends up finding a place to live. She moves into this 28 Barbary Lane, which is kind of like, the best way to describe it is like a little, like apartment-y condo complex-y thing. It's like multi-level and there's like wooden walkways. Anyway, but the landlady, who is another main character, is...
Nothing.
Anna Madrigal, who we in this novel we find out she's harboring a secret, which I will not give away because it is and you know she kind of is sitting on it. That is a kind of a clue. I'm not going to give it away, even though you know, spoiler alert, 40 years later.
I love a big clue.
Anywho, so she's kind of and it is a major plot point. And Anna Madrigal, she's kind of like the mother figure. All of her tenants are kind of like her family. They all kind of all get together. They're kind of a motley crew. And so she welcomes Marianne in, and Marianne meets her other fellow tenants. That they kind of all get together. One of her friends is a lesbian. Her name is Mona. And she's kind of like the...
A lesbian named Mona.
She's kind of like your stereotypical, like, feminist... She's not necessarily not butch, but she's just your non run-of-the-mill lesbian. She's not butch. She's not femme.
What do lesbians sound like?
Like Mona, I guess.
Not like us, apparently. And, maybe they do sound like us because we don't sound like gay.
She's Mona. She runs and she becomes good friends with Marianne. And Mona's story, and so Mona's storyline is that her former lover Dorothea. Who has
These
made
are all very lesbian names? I love it.
Right, who has made it big? She's African American. She has made it big as a model in New York, and she's moved back to San Francisco and is trying to rekindle her relationship with Mona. There's a little bit of a secret there with Dorothea that I'm not going to get into because it's another little plot point. And so that's her storyline. There's a lot of little sub storylines. The chapters are kind of like
subs.
There's no Dom storylines. They're all little sub storylines, which is great. You know? And so there's that storyline. Then we also have Michael. His nickname is Mouse. He is the gay guy. He is your, I guess, if we wanted to finger quotes, stereotypical gay guy. He is finger quotes.
I'm finger quoting.
Yeah. And
that's why we don't do video podcasts.
He is short, right? You can imagine what we're doing with our finger quoting. He's just your confident gay guy. He's living life in the 70s. He's just...
But do you think Anonymous One Star would like him?
You know, he probably doesn't sound like Anonymous's gay friend.
Mm.
He probably does not. But he's free-loving. He is...
Free-loving?
Yes, because you remember this. It's 1976. Mm-hmm. We're in San Francisco. He's just having a good time. He's good close friends with Mona the lesbian. He becomes very close friends with Marianne. And they kind of take Marianne under wings. Remember, she's very naive. And he's very good friends, almost like a son figure to Anna Madrigal. And so they kind of all become, they're like this little bitty found family, which is kind of a theme, which we'll all get to later.
Because you get to choose your family.
Don't you get ahead and steal my theme.
That's RuPaul.
Hey, don't you get ahead and steal RuPaul's theme that she done stole
I
here.
I feel so strong, but I'm
Our last main
you get to choose your family.
Our last main character is Brian. He is
Brian.
He is straight. He's kind of the straight
Brian.
Guy. He is actually really straight. Super straight.
I don't mean that we can't be like
he is
We're not trying to make him gay. We're just like,
he is like the womanizer. He is the he is the straight version of the gays of the 70s. He's giving us the, having sex
the
with,
BDE.
Yes. Mm. He is he and
what does BDE stand for?
He's got his big
brilliant
energy.
Brilliant, demented,
delicious,
and eager. but delicious. You know, from further, there's not a lot about it, but you get that vibe too from him later on.
Okay,
yeah.
Good for Brian.
So he and Mona have a little bit of a kind of a flirtatious fling, but she's really more of a
on.
She is.
Okay.
But they have a little bit of flirtatious.
A little bit of tips.
Yeah. Well, a little bit of like, is that a kind of... But it's not,
like a
it's
Ross
not.
And Rachel thing?
Yeah, but it does not...
A Carrie and Big thing?
Yeah, but it never really gets there. It's more no.
A Sam and Diane thing?
Oh, no.
No.
It ends up being... That was a good one. So he's
snaps all around.
He's woo-hoo. He is your he's the straight guy to this like, you know, family guy. And now, so those are the main characters. Then we have this random other person that kind of just moves in. His name is Norman Williams. He moves in and he's at like the top of the like the little apartment complex. It's really more like a studio apartment. It's at the very top. It's a great view of the city. And he's kind of like mysterious. He's a private eye, and he kind of is introduced as no, he's not like a Lady Gaga eye. No, like not like that. Which, by the way, did you know? I'm a huge Lady Gaga fan.
But
I am today years old when I found out that in Poker Face. She's saying, you know, it's poker face.
Mm-hmm.
What is the next part of that?
What do you mean?
Say that. It goes poker face.
Poker face. Poker face.
No. It goes poker face. It's fuck her face. I kid you fucking not.
The internet is going wild.
It was TikTok.
Right now.
I don't believe
that. TikTok taught me. I kid you fucking not. And then I looked it up this morning on TikTok.
But is it corrected now? Because Spence was trying to tell me something the other day about a Katy Perry song from 2010. It was like, babe, what was the song? Oh, geez. It was...
Wrong, somebody correct me, because for the last decade, I have not been singing
it
that.
Was Poppycock or something like that?
Peacock.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But like he was like, oh, yeah, that song. He's like, so he's trying to play it, and like the new version has, it just, Peacock.
Oh, they edited out Peacock?
Yeah.
I want to see your Peacock.
Yeah, and so, but if he's like, let me find the music video. Of course, the music video isn't edited because it's a music video.
Yeah.
And so the music video says, cock. So I'm wondering if Lady Gaga's...
was edited as well?
If you listen to it now, would it be corrected?
Well, there's also that song, Christmas song, that's rocking around the Christmas tree, and you're supposed to hear pumpkin pie, and she says, let's have some fucking pie.
Oh my god, hush up. Speaking of, Lady Gaga has a great Christmas song too.
That's not important. Anyways.
Did you also know?
Oh my god.
Is she your
diva?
Is she your number one? Lady
your
Gaga?
Diva? Who's your
it's complicated.
Avril Lavigne is your number one?
At first I was really confused, and
well,
then I got
all of us at this table don't have like conventional divas.
Yeah, no, because I got her, and then I got Barbara Streisand, and then I got Madonna.
Yeah, but those
so
are
there's my trifecta.
I mean,
but
that,
I do believe
you're like the... You,
I am
like,
on the fence that Avril Lavigne is
dead. You're old gay diva.
Avril Lavigne?
I am on the fence of Avril Lavigne being
wait,
dead
despite that
replaced.
Anonymous one-star gay saying we're not typical gay people, you just said Barbara Streisand
and Madonna.
Madonna and
Lady Gaga.
Like, that's the Holy Spirit of, Father, Son, Holy
but
Spirit.
Then I'll butch it up and say, did you know that propane... in the
propane
tank
accessories
is a liquid?
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that till yesterday.
You are so butch now.
And then Ben was
I love
like
that he butched up, but we already knew that.
Ben was like, Well, I'm pitching it because I'm talking about propane. Ben was like, it's a liquid. I'm like, no. And he's like, yeah, look. And
hear it.
And I looked at...
It's condensed.
That's what it is. I looked it up, and it's condensed according to the PSI or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when you
change the pressure,
when you change the pressure, well, it's not just, it has to do with the heat and the pressure. So when it becomes regular PSI,
about chemistry to a biochemist.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm agreeing with you. When you change it,
yeah, well, we have to talk to you about gay stuff, and you're a gay person.
Yeah,
so
when you bring it from like when it uncondenses, it turns into a gas. Yes, did you know that? So
because
in that tank, it's a liquid.
Because both pressure and temperature affect the state of matter of an object. And so if you change the pressure, it can change the.
That shit
matter.
Is wild.
You know what matters? Us finishing
this
topic.
Sorry.
Well, biochemistry lesson.
Technically, this was.
This is not. Let's talk about
biochemistry.
This is like a science podcast.
Technically, this is Chris's fault because he went like that with his hand, and that got me started with Lady Gaga.
And then we started talking about chemicals.
Well, no, because then we started talking about Norman Williams, who is the private eye, and he went like this. So he is there, and he's kind of a love interest, and.
That went in such a different direction because I was like, okay, Norman, like, oh, we'll see. He's the equivalent of the sugar daddy that's paying for the $2,000 a month to some gay person, you know, in San Francisco. He was the one who funded Andrew Cunanan, which is what I was going to say. And no, you were like, propane.
And propane. So he is interested. He is introduced as kind of a love interest for Marianne. But we also find out that he is spying on Anna Madrigal, but we don't know who has hired him. And then we don't know what he is spying on her for.
Wait, so is it like dramatic irony? Because we know as a reader,
no.
But they don't know? The friends find out.
Yes, we do not know. And even better, yes. So that is a big plot point. So then also throughout this, we have some other minor characters that are here, and then they come in and other books. So we've got John, he is a gynecologist, and he is gay, and he is a love interest of Mouse, the Michael, the gay guy. And then we have Dee Dee, who is a rich socialite. Her father is Edgar. He is the owner of a big advertising agency who is the boss of Marianne. She gets a job as like a little typist, a secretary. He is also, his agency is the one who employs Dorothea, who is the model. And Franny is his wife, who's just one of those rich socialite wives. And they're all intertwined.
Man, I was gonna say, all the people are connected.
But that is the beauty of the way he writes these stories, is all of their stories are intertwined, and they all know each other, but they don't really necessarily all fully work in the same circles. And so
you said they're not besties.
Exactly, and they don't really all know how they are all interconnected. So it's neat, and the only reason... So it's one of those things where, like, the reader knows how all of these cogs are moving and all of these Venn diagrams are connecting, but you have like an omnipotent view over all of it. It's basically like playing Sims.
I love good omnipotent.
And so you're watching all of these little Sims moving around, which I love because I'm totally into the Sims. Oh my
wonderful.
God,
wonderful.
Me too. And so you're, I know, way to keep me on track. Thank you. And so you're watching all of these moves. And you're watching all these moves and take place. And I don't want to give too much because there are some big things that happen that continue to go into play in the further novels. But the great thing about this is, like you said, it's this chosen family. It's this hodgepodge of characters from all different walks of life.
You've got a king named Hodgepodge.
And so you've got a gay guy who talks to his parents. And he lives in San Francisco. He's out and proud and does all these San Francisco gay things. And he's got these guys that he's off and on dating. And then he calls his parents and they ask him and they come and visit him. And he takes them around the city and they have no clue that he is gay.
Oh.
And he is out, you know, and...
They know.
No, they have zero clue. They have zero clue. So much that he's you know, like the nuns, the group of nuns in San Francisco that, I forget their name now at the top of my head. You know the group of nuns?
Sister.
Perpetual indulgence. Mm-hmm. Like, they're in here and they're riding bikes and they wave at him and the parents are like, and his parents are totally like, what? There's a mentor, and he's like, he's like, oh, that's just a group of,
they know.
It's like
they always know. The parents know. The parents know, but they deny.
Then maybe.
No,
okay,
I think this is real.
I will agree with you on that one. So they've got them, and then you've got Marianne, who is open to all these things. She's by all means, but it's all new to her, and she's experiencing all these things. You've got Brian, who's straight and accepting of all these things. And you've got this Anna Madrigal, who is the mother and loving and accepting and giving these people a safe place. So you've got this, it's the epitome of a chosen family, of a safe place at a time when it's beginning to be okay for people to coexist like this, but still not okay for people to coexist. Throw in a couple of mysterious elements, throw in like this plot where all these people live, and then just a general way of like just regular lives intertwining and doing all these things. It's just a great little slice and to look into this, and it's just very fun. And there's, like I said, there's all these books that coincide, and as the books go on, like I said, I'm currently in 1985 for the book. So like they progress and each book deals with the time as it goes on. So like he very much deals with like current events, like as the AIDS epidemic goes on, as Reagan comes into play, and so it's neat to see how he weaves in current events. So like they're dated, but they're not dated. Like they're still very much current because it's almost like a historical way of looking at things. So it's very neat to see. So it's very fun to read, but it's very neat. I loved it. It's very good. And the movie is based on it. It's very good. Olympia Dukakis plays Anna Madrigal. Her little secret mystery is very, very cool. Her little thing that comes out. You don't learn about it until the second book, More Tales of the City. Yes. She currently passed away. You don't learn about it until later. Laura Linney pays Marianne. It's very good. The latest movie just came out over COVID in like 2019, 2020.
Okay.
So it's very good. I highly recommend it. 5 stars. It's very good because it gives you that sense of family. It gives you that sense of belonging, that like
you're intertwined in these,
like,
webs.
Exactly, yeah. Like, as crazy as things get, like, there's this sense of belonging. There's this sense of family that, like, as all this crazy stuff happens, as life happens, they still come together and they still have this place, this little part of their world where they're still safe and they're still together and loved, and it's this little bubble, this little haven where no matter what weird things happen, they still have their place to go. So maybe I'll talk about the rest of them because...
Yeah, I mean, that's also what makes gay culture...
Yeah.
Gay culture, you know?
Yeah, exactly. It's
I know that we make those jokes about, like, choosing your family and, like... But it's a reality that we've all faced, we've all felt, you know, whether or not we've come out to friends, family, whatever it might have been. It's like, hey, we found our safe havens, we found our chosen families and people
exactly.
that I like. I mean, I feel closer to people like Spencer than I do to my own actual brothers. Like it
exactly. Well, that's what it is here. Like even these people, like even Marianne and the characters that are straight, like they find the family that is more accepting of them because like her family is judgmental of like the people she hangs out with because they find their beliefs more encompassing of these people that are the outcast of society, you know, and so their family is more judgmental of how they live their life just because they're more accepting of others.
Yeah.
It's just fun. It's just very...
Well, that's good. There's, you know, books out there that talk about the gay family experience, essentially.
What is the often mocked RuPaul quote.
We as gay people, we get to choose our family.
There we go.
And she's trying to hold back fake tears.
Yeah.
She's wearing a green dress. It's whenever Roxy Andrews.
Oh, that's right.
I need to look it up.
Lip syncs for her life because she was left at a bus stop when she was three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I need to.
I was left at a bus stop when I was three, and I try to be so strong, but I'm so weak.
Yeah.
And RuPaul goes, "We as gay people, we get to choose our family.
Okay, I remember now that I see the picture.
Yeah, you know exactly the picture. She's wearing that green dress.
Yeah,
that big old hair.
Now I see it. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Hey, we are family.
Yeah,
we are family.
Our family has evolved. We're nearing our 2019, 25 years.
Oh my god!
Have I been sitting in this front of this mic for 5 years?
Our podcast is almost ready to enter school.
Oh, and we've changed some seats around, but you know, and I feel like the culture of the podcast has morphed as it's gone throughout the years.
Has it though? Like I don't know. Like I mean, describe that because I feel, I don't know. Like it's the same. Like to me, it's fun. I like doing it.
Mm-hmm.
We get to talk about history, which I nerd out
mm-hmm.
about.
But also
interesting.
Get to be silly.
We get to be silly, and we were silly. I mean, you all listened. Like we're all friends,
mm-hmm.
like Tony, Kendall. Like so, it's all a friendly thing. Like so, it's not like they're not here anymore. Like, and you all participated in episodes with them,
yeah.
right? So it's not like you've never been exposed to the previous host. So I don't know. From my standpoint, like. It's just continued. Yes, we have different perspectives.
I agree. I feel the vibe is the same. It's just continued.
Yeah.
And
but again, you guys have different perspectives, so it's not this. It's not entirely like one for one, but
yeah. I feel like oftentimes you and Kendall and Tony will get into like more serious discussions,
mm-hmm.
and then I'm over here just like, let me be stupid.
but you guys have informed opinions,
yeah.
so it's not like it's totally,
that
it's
is,
not
yeah,
like,
yeah.
it's not goofy. Like,
I know that I'm an intelligent human being every once in a while.
Yeah.
And so I will still give.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but I like the different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
From my viewpoint, like, I think it's fun because I don't, Tony and Kendall, I don't want to say, like, well, let me see. Tony's the same age as I am.
Mm-hmm.
Came out about the same time I did. And my coming out experience is through Kendall. So I only know that lens of, like, everything. Like a RuPaul lens. Everything is, like, Joan Crawford and Steel Magnolias and Britney Spears and older, right? Whereas you come in, Chris, and
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh, there's this whole
who
person called Kesha and Olivia Rodrigo. And I'm like,
Who are these people?
Who are these Taylor Swift? Like, and I'm like, I don't understand what you're saying. Like,
mm.
that does not. So I appreciate that, but
and
it's
how
not.
I come out,
it's
came
not
out as gay.
So far that I don't understand it. Like I said, you bring a good bent and intellectual view to it. And Dusty's just freaking smart, and he spans both things because he understands the old gay, but he also is very hip to the. The new gay, like he can speak
he does,
new gay,
yeah.
and I'm like, oh wow. So to me, it's a good like bridge between what we were doing, what we are doing, but it still holds the same
mm-hmm.
Thematic elements.
Yeah,
sure.
No, and I think that it's even better that we've been able to hold on for 5 years.
Yeah.
Like you know a lot of podcasts, and the time that we've done this for 5 years that have come and gone, and
yeah.
you know, we're still going on, just enjoying each moment together. It's a nice moment to reflect and say, wow, this is, you know, this is incredible.
I mean, I almost did Kelly Clarkson for this episode, but my husband was like, no. And all I want to say is some people wait a lifetime for a moment like this.
Oh, my God.
Some people wait a lifetime. What? We have to pay.
Don't pay. If you more than four bars.
We're not at our reunion episode. I was just teasing
you. Is there like a break in between the bars? Like if you sing four bars, then you take like a pawn.
I don't know. I'm not going to test it.
I wonder.
I'm not going to test it.
Not gonna test it. Please welcome to the stage. Not gonna test it. I don't know what that means. You just have to do it.
You really just have to commit to the bit.
Yeah.
Welcome to the stage. Commit to the bit.
All right. On that, thank you to the guy who keeps signing the check, Spencer. Keep following us. Follow us on social media. Give us a review. 1 star, 5 stars. We'll take it because obviously 1 star. Anonymous, we love that.
Let us know what you think about
honestly,
this one.
Was it too long for you again? 2 hours.
Did we over talk?
Probably.
Did it sound like you're kind of gay?
Let us know. And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email. Or let's talk about gaystuff@gmail.com. All right. With that, we're here.
We're queer.
Get used to it.